Thank you, Brother Leon. You can be seated. First of all, I'd like to say that it's my privilege to be here tonight. I count it a real privilege to be here in the tent and to be with the people who've been blessed down through our lifetime, and we've preached many times under the tent, and we always enjoy preaching under the tent. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Let me see your hand. All right, well, that's good. We're glad to have you tonight and glad to be here with you. And really, I was counting on Brother Leon preaching tonight. I really was. I told my wife coming down the road, I said, now, I'm expecting Leon to preach, and I'd already talked to him about it before. And when I got here, he already had told him that I was going to minister, and had George Jr. to announce me ministering tonight. But Brother Leon is a wonderful preacher. He's a great man of God and a wonderful minister. And I thoroughly enjoy listening to him minister the word. I myself enjoy it. I love to sit back and listen at him preach. And I know that you do too. How do you appreciate the tent being here in the valley? You appreciate that? You know, I have seen such a great thing in God until a lot of people, they have the feeling that I'm exaggerating when I begin to talk about the greatness of what is taking place. First of all, we ought to realize that there is no way to exaggerate the things of God. If we praised Him all night and said things about Him, we couldn't even begin to give them due praise. Isn't that right? There's no way to exaggerate praising a man of God or praising the work of God. Inasmuch as we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, if you've done it unto them, the least of them, you've done it unto me. So then there's no way to overpraise God, is there? Then when I say things about what God is doing, it seems like I'm exaggerating, but I can assure you tonight, I'm telling you the truth, that it is a great, marvelous thing. Being here in the valley tonight and having this tent here is a great memorial event that God has brought about in this last hour. You can be assured of one thing, that it's not just another meeting. It's not just another revival. It's not just another tent meeting. They've had those all over the nation, and I've been privileged to be in some of them. But it's not just another meeting. It's not just another revival. But this is a great, outstanding memorial event in the tent being here in the valley. This tent has a great spiritual significance, and Brother Leon being here, the thing that's transpiring is great and outstanding in the mind of God. And I can tell you this tonight, that you that are sitting here listening, if you knew what was taking place tonight, some of you, they would have to put you in a straitjacket, and that's no exaggeration. If you knew what was happening tonight with this tent being in the valley here, they'd have to put some of you in a straitjacket tonight. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating one bit. They'd have to put you in a straitjacket tonight. But it's a good thing that you don't understand all things and that you don't know all things for your own benefit. But for those that love the Lord Jesus and those that are wanting to press in and do something for God, then just be glad that you're here tonight and be glad that the tent is here tonight. Because God has sent those that He would have to be here tonight. Folks, this is a time to be very grave and very serious. Did you know that? The church has not been as serious with God as they ought to have been. They've done many things that was not pleasing to God. And they have invited many things into the church. It's been contrary to the ways of God. But God, through His infinite mercy, has looked down and spared the people. And been very kind to them and helped them, understood them, and worked with them as children. But you know, we're coming to the time now when God isn't going to look on us anymore as children. God is going to begin to expect things of us as He has never expected before. He's going to look to you and I to come front and center and begin to shape our lives in Christ. The Bible tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with more stripes. Is that right? Many stripes. Bible said the servant that knew not to do his Lord's will and committed things that was worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But the church world has at last come into a place to where they know the will of God. And they know the way of God, and they know the mannerism of God, and God is expecting them to move into the same place that Christ moved into with God. So that means that there is something that's taking place like has never taken place before in the history of the world. I'm glad of one thing, that God is always brand new. No matter what God did yesterday, He has something new today. The Bible tells us in one place that I will do a new thing. And so then God today is doing a new thing. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I don't believe there is anything new, but there's a new thing. I've said this so often, you know, people will refer back to Solomon and they'll say, well, Brother Pike, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And that is true, and just as quick as he got through saying it, God came along and done a new thing by offering Christ up at Calvary. It had never been done before. Is that right? So then what Solomon had reference to was that all things that are to be was already in the foreknowledge of God, that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world in the mind of God. But God does a new thing. The Bible said His mercies are new every day. So if we have nothing else to accept as a new thing, we can accept the fact that God's mercy is new today. I'm glad it's new. I'm glad it's new. I want to take just a few minutes tonight and talk with you. And as I said, I was expecting Brother Leon to preach, but in that I'm here to minister, I want to try to do what I can for you. We ministered last night, and the Lord blessed us, and we're just a little bit hoarse. We ministered on a Wednesday night, and it looked like God blessed everybody on a Wednesday night. And I trust that God will bless us here tonight. So then, if you'll bear with me for just a few minutes, I'd like to read some scripture. If you'll turn to the book of John, chapter 15. The book of John, chapter 15, I'd like to read just a little bit. Reading in the 5th verse, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called ye friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command ye, that ye love one another. All right. I like this little verse here where Jesus uses the terms, all things that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. I perhaps disagree a little bit with the average preacher. A lot of preachers use the thought, you know, that God doesn't want us to know everything. I've heard him so many times make the remark that, well, there's just things that God doesn't want us to know. I disagree with that because according to the Holy Scriptures, and the Bible teaches that the Word all the Scriptures cannot be broken. According to the Holy Scriptures, there is nothing that God does not want us to know. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, the Bible tells us that God has given us an unction. We have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. All things, not some things, but all things. It is God's will and God's desire that human beings that come to Christ understand and know all things. Jesus said, whatsoever my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. How many of you believe that God made known unto Jesus all things? The Bible said that the Spirit of God dwelleth not in Jesus by measure, but it dwelt in the fullness in Jesus Christ. Is that right? Now I know that Jesus was God in the earth because God is a Spirit according to John 4:24. And God, who is a Spirit, dwelt inside of Jesus in the fullness. He did not dwell in Jesus in measure, but he dwelt in Jesus in the fullness. Jesus was the temple of the living God, and Jesus is the temple that the book of Revelation speaks of when it says that that city hath no need for a temple, for the Lord Jesus is the temple, and it hath no need for light, because Christ is the light of that city. Is that right? So then we see tonight that God is the great light. When we think of a great light, we think of a natural light because we are natural people. Isn't that right? But God is a great light, not a natural light. And everything that is in this world is typical, or it is a symbol of some heavenly substance somewhere. Everything in this world is a natural symbol or a natural type of some spiritual significance somewhere in God's world. And God, who is a Spirit, he seeks and longs to communicate with us on the grounds that he communicated with Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So then it is God's desire and it is God's will that we understand all things, that we can go to God and talk to God and have a communication with God the same way Jesus did as the Son of God. God desires to bring many sons into perfection, that you and I might be a part of his great kingdom, and God can come down in the midst of us and talk with us just like he did the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, God could come down and talk with me anytime that he wanted to. I can assure you tonight that God couldn't possibly come down and talk to you anytime he got ready. If God come down and talked to some of you, you'd have a heart attack. If God even sent an angel down to talk to some of you, you would have a heart attack. So then it's not that easy for God to do. Now God can help us through the ministry, and God can speak to us through one another. Is that right? You say, but Brother Pike, the Bible tells us that my sheep know my voice. That's right. They do know the voice of God. Is that right? But it doesn't say anything about them hearing it that way. It says that they know the voice of God, which indicates that God communicates with mankind on the basis of a knowledge. It is a knowledge to know the voice of God, to understand. I've heard a lot of people say, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that, and I know that God told me to prophesy this, but a lot of times God hasn't even spoke to them. God hasn't told them anything. And the Bible said, if a prophet prophesies something presumptuously, that prophet shall die. Isn't that right? That's why we've got so much heresy in the church. That's why we've got so many people that says they've called to preach. That's why we've got boys and girls and men and everything in the pulpit today, is because they do not know the voice of God. They do not understand the voice of God. And because of that, they've caused the kingdom of God to be in a great uproar. Cause confusion in the church, and people have not been able to come into the place with God that God ordained for them to come into. But I'll tell you tonight, we can be on speaking terms with God. We can know all things because we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. I think about the good things of God tonight, and I think about the many wonderful times that God has spoken to me. Think about the time that the angel came to visit with me, and how that God came and placed a ring on my finger, and my heart is thrilled beyond measure. When I realize that there is a God, that God does communicate with mankind, and that God intends for us to have the very best, that God intends for us to fellowship one another, to love one another. You know, a lot of people have never even got acquainted with God. They say that I know God, but they've never even got acquainted with God. You ask them about God, and you can tell through their church ritualistics and the way that they go about serving God that they've never even got acquainted with God. God is love. How many of you know that God is love? When you get acquainted with love, you've got acquainted with God. Until you get acquainted with love, you've never got acquainted with God. Amen. Joining the church, that doesn't acquaint you with God. Because you say that you're Pentecostal, that doesn't acquaint you with God. Because you say I speak in tongues, that does not acquaint you with God. Because you've been baptized in Jesus' name does not acquaint you with God. God is the spirit of love. Hallelujah. Not the spirit of lust, but the spirit of love. Not the spirit of make-believe, but the spirit of love. God is the spirit of love. And when the great spirit of God, when the spirit of love comes into the midst of the church, something will begin to happen in the church. Hallelujah. Have you believed that? So then God is that great light. John said there's a great light, and God is that great light. What a great light this is. Not a light like we see on the pole, not a natural light. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, when God comes into the world, the whole world is going to light up. Brothers and sisters, God is a light, but not a natural light. God is the light of understanding. When the Bible says that in that city, there is no need for the light, for the Lamb is the light thereof, he is speaking of a understanding. Paul said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights, comprehend the depths, comprehend the width, and comprehend the length, Paul said. So then God is a light, a great light. What kind of light? He is a revelational light. Hallelujah. God is a revelational light. In the churches of today, Pentecostal churches, many of them don't even have the spirit of revelation in them. A lot of Pentecostal churches in the world today will point their fingers at a Baptist church or a Methodist church or Presbyterian church and put thumbs down. But they themselves have never even come into the spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? If you pay attention up here, and Peter said, look on us, you'll find more than looking on each other and laughing and giggling. Amen. If you have a little reverence for the house of God. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll start preaching here in a few minutes. All you got to do is act up a little bit, and that really gets me fired up. Hallelujah. I'm an old-fashioned preacher, you know. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then God is a great light. Amen. The Bible said, enter into his sanctuary with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. So when we come to the house of God, it said, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. So then tonight we're here to try to share our enthusiasm with you concerning Christ. We love you tonight. We appreciate you tonight. God is love. But how many of you know that love is corrective? Love can rebuke. Love can reprove. Love can exhort. Love can sit outside a temple and plant a whip and turn over the money tables. Love can be angry because of the hardness of the heart. Love can turn and say, look at you and say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you, and turn you into the flames of hell. Love can do that. Hallelujah. So then God is love. You love him? The Bible tells us that he that loveth is of God. He that doth not love has never seen God. He's never known God. There is no promise of eternal life in the Bible that's recorded anywhere because you speak in tongues. Come on, folks. I said there's no promise of eternal life because you speak in tongues. There is no promise of eternal life because you say that you're Pentecostal. There is no promise of life because you say you've been baptized in Jesus' name. There is no promise of eternal life because you say you can cast out a devil, open a blind eye, unstop a deaf ear. There is no promise of love or life. There is no promise of life because you can quote the Bible. There is no promise of life because you can preach good. Hallelujah. Because you say that you're a prophet, there's no promise of life. Because you say that you're in the fivefold ministry, there's no promise of life. But brother, the Bible said that love is as strong as death, and he that loveth his brother is passed from death unto life. There's a promise of life when you love the brethren. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you love your brother and your fellow man, then you've got life. But unless you love your brother and your fellow man, you still abide in death. Hallelujah. What is love? To express, to say that I love my brother is not enough. For me to say I love my fellow man is not enough. For me to tell you that I love the brotherhood is not enough. But the Bible said the day comes when I shall love indeed. And then when the day comes that I love indeed, that is sufficient. Hallelujah. If I'm to love you indeed, then I love you. If I love you in word, I don't love you. But if I love you indeed, then I love you. Hallelujah. So then God loves us tonight. But God expects us to be a temple of love. You love the Lord? God wants me to be filled with love. Somebody said, I'm filled with the Spirit, Brother Pike. And they jump up and they dance and they shout. They kick their shoes off and they have a dance. I've been in a lot of tent meetings and a lot of church meetings to where they shout and talk about having eternal life. Amen. But let me tell you something. Just shouting and jumping and hollering doesn't prove that you got God. That don't prove a thing. Hallelujah. That don't prove a thing. That doesn't prove that you're filled with the Spirit. Just because you can run and jump and holler, that doesn't prove that you're filled with the Spirit. But brothers and sisters, when you are filled with the love of God, when your vessel is overflowing with the love of God, hallelujah, when you've got your cup running over, David said, with the love of God, then are you ready for the rapture, hallelujah. Then are you ready to go with God. Amen. When your cup is overflowing with love, when you love one another, when you can feel the Holy Ghost flowing from breast to breast. Amen. When you're more concerned about God than you are your children, when you're more concerned about God than you are your wife, when you're more concerned about God than you are your husband, when you're more concerned about God than all of the world put together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then you got the Spirit of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life in the world, and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, I like that, Brother Arthur. It says he abides forever. If he's got the love of God in him, you can't kill him. If he's got the love of God in him, he can't perish. He abides forever. Hallelujah. The Bible said the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Hallelujah. So then there's a great thing that's taking place. Hallelujah. What is the significance of this tent being here? And the Bible said it was a pillar of fire by night, and it was a pillar of cloud by day. How beautiful this white tent is. You know, you look around and you see in the daylight how it looks like a great big fluffy pillar of cloud. And then at night you can step outside and the lights are radiating through it, and it looks like a pillar of fire by night. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, what are you trying to tell me, Brother Pike? I mean that God's doing something. God's on the move. There's a move of the Spirit. There's a great move in the land today. Hallelujah. God still got a people. He said, as I covenant with you, so my Spirit remaineth among you. God's Spirit is still with us, folks. The church has went through a crisis. It looks like everything is in vain. It appears that nothing can't be done anymore. It appears that God has withdrawn from the church and the church has been forsaken. But I want you to know tonight that God is still with us. God's Spirit is still in our midst. God covenanted with us, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I'm with you always till the end of the world. Hallelujah. God's good. When the angel of God appeared to us in the state of Florida, he came and appeared to me there as I lay on my bed. I saw everything turn dark, and there I was in a dark room. Amen. Everything was very dark. And then I felt the presence. I thought about the song they sang tonight, His Presence. I felt the presence of God in the room. And there as I lay on the bed, I felt the presence, and soon I heard the voice. Hallelujah. God began to speak to me, and Jesus came close to where I was. And Jesus said to me, He said, "Where is the stone of thy birth?" And as He reached over and picked up my left hand, He said, "Where is the stone of thy birth?" And He began to speak to me, and He said, "Son, where is the stone of thy birth?" And I said, I don't know, Lord. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Pye, if I was in the presence of the angel, I could talk with him and commune with him. But Daniel said, you become as a dead man." Amen. As I stayed in the presence of God, I was as a dead man. I couldn't do anything. Amen. There I was in the presence of God, and God speaking to me, and God said, "Where is the stone of thy birth?" I said, I don't know, God. And God said, "I will give thee one." Hallelujah. "I will give thee a stone." And so then He walked over to me, and He picked up my left hand, and He looked, and He turned, and He laid it down very gently like a mother. He walked away. I felt His presence depart. I felt the room become empty again. I couldn't feel the presence of the Savior anymore in there. I lay there still. I lay there. I couldn't move. I lay there like as a paralyzed person. I lay there like Daniel said. I was dead. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. I just lay there. All of a sudden, I felt the presence of the living God come in. Hallelujah. Though it's dark, though you're in the mind of carnality, when you're dead, you've never been born again. You're in the world of darkness and you don't know God. But brothers and sisters, when God comes near you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes near you, something begins to happen to you, and you begin to feel the presence of God, and you know that something's taking place. Though you're in the darkness, you know that something's taking place. Hallelujah. I felt the presence of the living God. And here He came into my room. Oh, hallelujah. It makes you feel like singing. It's no wonder people shout. It's no wonder people dance. David said, "I danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of my might." All of my might. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, David danced with all of his might. The Bible said, "Praise Him in the dance." When the Ark of the Covenant comes in, when the presence of God comes in, the church begins to shout and praise God. It's not something that you manufacture. It's something that God brings into your presence. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. God brings something into your presence. Amen. There you are, cold, still, lifeless, undone, without God, nobody to help you. But all of a sudden, there comes the presence in this warm and enthusing, and there's something that's activating that wakes you up, that brings you back to life. And all of a sudden, those things that didn't mean anything means great things to you. And all those things that seemed to mean so much means nothing to you anymore. Hallelujah. And so then He comes in, His presence comes in. A dead, cold, lifeless individual that's never done anything for God. Somebody that's foolish, somebody that's filled with frolic. Somebody that loves the things of the world. And all of a sudden they take a change, Jim. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden they take a change. Why? Somebody says, "You know, Jim isn't like he used to be. Sister Sue isn't like she used to be. I wonder what's happened to her. I wonder what's taking place." And all of a sudden they say they're so different from what they used to be. And suddenly they realize something has taken place, and they begin to commune with them. And they say, "What has happened to you?" And they say, "I've met Jesus." Oh, hallelujah! On the road to Emmaus, hallelujah! He revealed Himself to them. Glory to God. He appeared to another in another form to him, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He expounded the word to us?" By the way, as He opened the word of God to us, did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. You ever had God to make your heart burn within you? Old Paul over there walking down the road, all of a sudden the light shined round about him. And old brother Paul fell to his knees, and a voice said from heaven, "Paul, Paul, or Saul, why persecutest thou me?" A lot of people are persecuting the church of the living God. A lot of people are persecuting their neighbor. A lot of people are backbiting. A lot of tongues are lashing out. Amen. The Bible said, "He that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God." A lot of people are backbiting. A lot of people are taking advantage. A lot of people are warring against that which God has ordained in the earth. But I tell you tonight, the angels in heaven are afraid to speak evil of dignities. You that being vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind speak evil of dignities and things that you don't know anything about. Angels greater in power my day wouldn't dare do such a thing. Even the devil disputing over the body of Moses did not there when the angel disputed with him. The angel didn't bring railing accusation against him, but just said, "The Lord rebuke thee." The angel could have called him all kind of names because he was talking to the devil, but he didn't want to defile himself with a lot of wrong words, with a lot of wrong thoughts. Is that right? So he just said, "Satan, the Lord rebuke thee." Isn't that sufficient? Isn't that enough? If I pray for the sick, all I have to say is, "The Lord rebuke thee." Amen. If I say, "The Lord rebuke thee," and if the Lord did rebuke him, he'll be on his way. I had somebody to come to me the other day and said, "Brother Pike," said, "I want you to do something. I want you to pray. I want to get rid of the devil that I've got." Amen. They said, "I want to get rid of the devil that I've got." What was the devil? "I want to get rid of the devil, a devil of lying, a devil of deceit. I want to get rid of it, a devil of lust. I want to get rid of the devil." And they wanted me to cast the devil out. I said, "All you got to do," I said, "the Bible said, draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. To resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you." Somebody said, "I want somebody to cast the devil out of me." Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. If you'll resist the devil, you won't have to worry about anybody casting the devil out of you. Nobody can cast the devil out of you unless you want the devil out of you. You can come before a man of God and say, "I want the devil out of me," but that doesn't do any good. You've got to really want to get rid of the devil. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I don't want to go to hell," but you like to smoke, don't you? You like to chew, don't you? You like to dip, don't you? You like to gossip, don't you? You like to frolic up and down the beach half naked, don't you? You like to sit in the front of a television set and watch the filth on it, don't you? Somebody said, "I want to get rid of the devil." That's the devil. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Amen. Turn around and resist him and he'll flee from you. But brother, let me tell you something. In the city that God's called me to, in the place that God's called me to, there won't be any of that. There won't be any of that. If that's the kind of appetite you got, you need to do something about it, because there won't be any of that up there. You're going to be out of a place in heaven. If you're looking to find those things in heaven, you're going to be out of place. Amen. Because the lust of this world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You love the Lord? So God spoke to me. God put a ring on my finger. I felt his presence come back into the room. As it came back in the room, I felt him place a ring on my finger. And I heard the Lord say to me as he lifted my hand up, he said, "I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. But lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. I shall be with thee. I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. But lo, in the time of trouble, I shall be with thee." I have been stranded in the desert. I've been stranded in the mountains. I've been in peril. I've been in trouble. I've had people come against me. But God has never forsaken me. God's never left me. God's always stood by me. And the Bible said, if your ways please God, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. I've had them to rise up against me, but God made them to be at peace with me. I've had people to rise up against me that are in the grave tonight because God made them to be at peace with me. Hallelujah. When your ways please God, he said, I will put the fear of you upon all of the land, and they will be afraid of you because you are called by my name. Oh, I like that, don't you? Glory to God. It didn't say that they would fear you. Didn't say they would fear you because you belong to the church of God. Somebody say amen. Didn't say that they would fear you because you belong to the Assemblies of God. Didn't say that they would fear you because you belong to the UPC. Didn't say that they would fear you because you belong to the Baptist or the Methodist Church. Come on, people. God didn't say they would fear you for that reason. Is that right? But what did he say? He said, you're called by my name. They will be afraid of you. Because they'll say, that's them Jesus' name, folks. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, somebody said, I can't take that, Brother Pike. God bless your little heart. Let me tell you something.
The Bible said they went away from the temple. Hallelujah. That don't discourage me a bit. Amen. Said they went into the temple and they were glad to suffer shame for his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glad to suffer shame for his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come here, brother, if you will. I'd like to pray for you right here. Yes, that's right. I'd like to suffer shame for his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God's presence. I feel the Spirit moving tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Thank you, brother. Amen. You want to do something for God? Hallelujah. You ever had an experience with the Lord? Ever really been born again? Amen. Hallelujah. Did you know that you're supposed to reverence God's sanctuary and God's word? Amen. I want you to lift your hands up just a minute. Will you lift your hands with me? Hallelujah. God's doing something, folks. Glory to God. God's doing something tonight. I feel the presence of God tonight. God wants to help you. God wants to do something for you, but listen, God is real. God knows the thoughts of your heart. When John and Peter and James walked the earth, there was no playing. There was no make-believe. It wasn't a show. It wasn't a great thing. In that way, it was a great thing with God. Is that right? Reverence God. Fear God. Keep God's commandments. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel Jehovah Jireh here tonight. I feel God's here tonight. I feel the great power of the Holy Ghost in this tent tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand to our feet and lift our hands tonight. I feel the presence of God here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, as I pray for my brother in the name of Jesus, Lord, this evil spirit that's hampered his life, that's hindering him, God, that's trying to keep him from coming into the place that you would have him to come into, tonight in the name of Jesus, Father, I bind that evil power. Satan, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus tonight. I adjure thee by God that you leave this young man, that you hamper his life no more. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against you. I plead the spirit between him and you and the blood covering of Calvary. Hallelujah. I feel your anointing, oh God. I pray that every yoke would be broken, every bondage would be taken away, and the great Spirit of God, Father, would look, live, and rule in this life. Oh God, that something can be done here in this young fellow for Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. There is something that that's taking place. You can be seated. There is something that's taking place. God is wanting to do something for you. Folks, let me tell you, this is real. Hallelujah. That angel of God came to me. And when the angel of the Lord came to me, as the Lord placed the ring on my finger, I stood up. All of a sudden, everything come to light. I was in darkness. I was laying on the bed. I was helpless. But when that ring went on my finger, I came up and I stood up on my feet. And as I stood up on my feet, great light sprang up. Hallelujah. All through the room. And there I looked in a great, great, huge fella standing in my room with a garment flowing down to his feet. He looked down at me because I had to look up at him. Oh, hallelujah. God made man a little lower than the angels, and the angels of God are high above. And God shows it to us naturally in stature that we might understand it's the angel of the Lord. And there the angel of God stood, and he looked down upon me. And there I saw him as he had something in his hands, and he dropped this thing, and it wavered down to the floor. I had been over, and I picked it up, and I almost had to tiptoe as I handed back up to him. He took it. He just kind of looked at me in a pleasant way, and away he went. I came out of the vision, and there I thought, God, what does this mean? Hallelujah. Now when he put a ring on my finger, I wasn't asleep. I knew that I'd left the living room. I knew that I'd walked into this room. I knew that I was on my own bed right there. I just laid down to relax a minute because I was working on a chart. I knew where I was. I knew what was happening, and I knew somebody come in that room. There was a presence of God. Hallelujah. I knew something was taking place, and when he walked in my room, I knew God had come into that place, folks. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. And so then God spoke to my heart. God began to deal with me, and for a number of years I didn't understand. Many months went by, I couldn't understand the vision. I thought, Lord, what does the vision mean? And it just not been too long ago that God spoke to me and said, son, I'll make you to know what the vision was. And so that he made me to know what the vision was. And I want you to know tonight that this tent is part of that vision. Hallelujah. This tent being in the Carolinas, this tent being in the valley, has to do with that vision. Amen. This tent being set here in this particular place has to do with the vision of God when Christ came into my room. Hallelujah. And said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've been stranded in the mountains, and when I would get stranded, my wife and I stranded in the Idaho mountains when snow was wrapping us up, caught in between emergency shelters. No way to get any gas. No way to get any place. And the snow had us stalled in the road. Amen. Nobody traveling the roads. And I was there, and I was helpless. And when I couldn't do anything, I heard that voice like Paul did. Glory to God, I heard that voice. And it spoke, and he said, I said, I'll never leave you. I said, I'll never forsake you. But it says, lo, I shall be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. He said, son, you're in need. I am with thee. Oh, I am with thee always, even unto the ends of the world. Hallelujah. I am with thee, my son. Take courage and fear not, for God is with thee. Amen. Tonight, folks, God is with you tonight. I'm here tonight to tell you that God is with you. I'm here tonight to tell you that God loves you. And God wants to do a great thing in your life. And let me tell you something. If you'll yield to God tonight, God will do a great thing in your life. Hallelujah. I want him to come to the piano here. We kept you a little bit long with the music tonight, and I'm going to try to be merciful. But I want him to come up to the piano and the organ tonight. Take just a few more minutes here if you don't mind. I want you to stand with me as they come. Hallelujah. There is something that is happening here in the valley that has to do with the end of the world. Hallelujah. I wish that we had the time and you had the patience to go through some of the things and tell you what I feel and what I understand. There's many tapes that we've made, different places from New Mexico down to Florida and different places around the nation and out of the nation. But you can get back at Little Bethlehem that costs you absolutely nothing. All you have to do is write and contact our brother Bill over here, and they'll relate some of the things that's taking place, some of the outstanding things that's taking place, and why this tent is in the valley, why Brother Leon Wilson is in the valley here. There is something that's happening, my dear brother. Hallelujah. Folks, be spiritual. Let me say this to you. Listen, Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Are you listening? Somebody says, Brother Pike, I've already got revelation on baptism in Jesus' name. That's wonderful. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that. You don't have to get a revelation on that. The Bible said to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the literal printed page. But God said for you to pray that he would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Paul said, because of my much revelation. And the Bible teaches that Paul was the apostle to the Gentile church that was given a revelation. Why was he given a revelation, folks? Why was he given a revelation? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is the translation of the church. That is the translation of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. That's all right. Don't feel bad. The young man took it better than the young ladies did. That was a devil that was trying to hamper and hamper the service, so don't feel bad. Probably fine people, have nothing against them, but we're not playing games. Somebody said, if you feel that way, I'll never be back. Don't worry, when God gets ready, you'll come back. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I've not lost to one of them. Everyone that you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It'll do more good in the end. You love the Lord? The Bible said, don't give place to the devil, and we're not to give place to the devil. You understand? So then it is a serious thing, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the things of God tonight. We're talking about going home with Christ. Amen. You love the Lord? All right, then I want you to stand with me, and we want to sing a little chorus tonight. And while we're singing, I'd like for you to come tonight and gather around the altar for just a few minutes. Hallelujah. I want you to come if you're a sinner tonight. I want you to come right on, folks.
The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're a sinner, you've got breath, but you owe some praises to God tonight. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not Assembly of God. That's all right. I'm not Church of God. That's all right. It doesn't matter what you are. Baptist, Methodist, I preach in the churches of God. I preach in the Assemblies of God. I preach to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholics. Amen. There's a number of Assembly of God preachers that we've been able to lead right into the things of God. Church of God people. Church of God preachers that we've been able to lead in the fullness of God. Others, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ ministers. Got some of them here tonight. Amen. It's a time for us to do something, folks, and come together. You love the Lord? Amen. I want you to come up here tonight and stand with me. Every one of you, will you come on? While we're singing tonight, let's all come. Will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that God is doing. Amen. Let's sing the little chorus, Let Go, and Let God Have His Wonderful Way. Can you sing it with me? Oh, let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Can you sing it with me again? Oh, let go and let God have wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you want to let go tonight and let the Lord have His way? Folks, listen, if you're here and undone without God, if we've got one of you in the tent tonight that don't know Jesus, now's the time to make it right with God. God is love. God wants to do something for you tonight. God wants to elevate you. God wants to lift you up. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to bring something into your life you've never had before, folks. He wants to give you a fullness with God and a close walk with God to where you can communicate with Christ and be on speaking level with God. What a great opportunity. What a great day. Hallelujah. What a great time it was when the angels came to Abraham and there under the oak of Mamre began to talk to Abraham. And when God said, shall I hide this thing from my servant Abraham? Seeing that Abraham is my friend, shall I hide it from Abraham? Hallelujah. God doesn't want to hide anything from you. God wants you to be His friend tonight. God wants to be your friend tonight. And God doesn't want to hide anything from you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Shall I hide this thing from Abraham? He said, no. No, I know Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham's my friend. Can you be called a friend of God tonight? Are you the friend of God tonight? Amen. Can you say that I'm the friend of God tonight? Can you really say that tonight? God needs a friend. But listen, folks, it isn't going to be long before you're going to need a friend. God needs a friend in this world tonight. But in a little while, we're going to be over there and we're going to need a friend. Is that right? Let's befriend God tonight that God can befriend us over there. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Don't you want to be a friend of God? But you say, Brother Pike, what will people say? What difference does it make? People say everything anyway, don't they? People dress every way, say everything, do everything. What difference does it make? Amen. If one man wants to drive a Cadillac and another wants to drive a Chrysler and another wants to drive a T-model, that's his business. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to go over here and I want to go over yonder and they want to go over yonder, it's all right. It's your business. But let me tell you one thing. Let's love Jesus. Let's come together in Christ. Let's bring the Lord back into the world. Hallelujah. This revelation of Jesus Christ is coming forth as the rapture of the church. I tell you in the name of Jesus tonight, listen to me, people, as I talk with you tonight and reason with you, there is no such thing as the word rapture in the Bible. Now listen to me tonight. The word rapture is one of the most besetting words that they've ever used in the church. Amen. When they tell you there's going to be a rapture, that's good because there is going to be one. But when they use the term rapture in the way that they do that throws you completely off base with God. You understand what I'm saying? We're waiting for a Thessalonians change in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's true. But let me tell you something. This revelation is the change. The Bible does not use the term rapture. There is no terms rapture used in the scripture. Paul used the term, as our apostle said, we shall be changed. We are changed. A lot of folks say, well, what's the difference? There's a lot of difference. Amen. When he said you should be changed, he said change from glory to glory. Change from glory to glory. Amen. From revelation to revelation, from knowledge to knowledge, from light to light, the Bible said, into the glorious image of the sons of God. We are changed. You can't just stand by and wait for something to come that's not coming. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in Thessalonians? I certainly do. But I believe it's line upon line and precept upon precept. I don't believe you could take one scripture and monopolize off of it. Come on, folks. I believe in baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. But I don't believe that'll take you to heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible said you're not of His if you don't have His Spirit. You could be baptized in Jesus' name a dozen times, but if you don't have His Spirit, you'll go to hell. You can join every church in the country, you'll still go to hell. Amen. You can cast out devils and do what you want to, but He said, I'll never know you. Amen. But brother, if you've got the love of God in your heart, you've got it. We know we pass from death into life not because we've been baptized, but we pass from death into life because we love the brother. Amen. Got a love for the brotherhood. Why are you here tonight? Because you love the brotherhood. Isn't that right? You want to be together tonight. Oh, my brothers and sisters, my heart is enlarged towards you. Let me tell you this, that when we have the love of God, all of the diseases will go down the drain. When we have the love of God, poverty will move away. When we have the love of God, everything will work out. You love the Lord? So then tonight, we need to be changed from glory to glory. We need to know the revelation of Jesus Christ tonight to be changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. From glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. For we are ordained to the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ. God is in you tonight. God wants to make a God man out of you tonight. How do you know that you're God in the earth tonight? Amen. God in the earth tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ with the fullness of God walking the earth. You're God by measure tonight. But when you get your measure with my measure, and my measure with their measure, and their measure with our measure, then we've got God in the earth. And then the head, Jesus Christ, will return to it. Amen. When the membership of the church comes together. Listen, folks. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of God, the UPC, the Pentecostal, the Presbyterian, all of them are coming together. Oh, somebody said they'll never do it. They will do it. They will do it. You know why they will do it? They've got too much money at stake. They've got too much prestige at stake to back out. They've got to do it. But that don't mean that's the church. Oh, hallelujah. You say you don't believe God used the Baptist. God has used the Baptist. God has used the Methodist. God has used the Catholic. Amen. There's been good people that come down through the Catholic Church. God's used the Church of God. God's used the Assembly of God. God's used the others. Amen. Is that right? When people are little children, you have to build fences to keep them out of the road, don't you? But when they get big, they'll climb over the fences because they want to visit with a neighbor. Is that right? You might as well tear the fences down because it won't do any good anymore. Is that right? You can take little baby chicks and you can keep them cooped up. But when they get too big for the coop, you got to turn them out. Is that right? There's folks that's getting too big for the coop. Did you know that? Amen. There's people that's beginning to see like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question tonight. What church did Jesus belong to? I'd like for you to tell me because I'd like to join it. Come on, folks. The Bible said He's our example and we ought to follow in His step. Is that right? What church did Paul belong to? What church did Peter belong to? What church did the first 3,000 belong to? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. I know what church they belong to and I joined it. Somebody said, what church is the church of the firstborn? Who's got their names in heaven? Hallelujah, is that right? Not the church of the firstborn that they got in this world they call the firstborn. Amen, but we belong to the church of the firstborn because we're the firstborn. And Jesus was the firstborn of brothers among many brethren, is that right? Hallelujah, so we're born of God tonight.
Amen. We're born of God. I wish we could get into Revelation, just get in the Spirit now to where we could get into Revelation. But done helped you long enough tonight. But I want you to listen to me for just a few more minutes and we're going to turn you loose. Now listen. We are moving from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from greatness to greatness, from knowledge to knowledge. Amen. It's right. There is a translation that's taking place. I believe in Thessalonians. I believe in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to come to the redemption of body. But listen to me, folks. We're not going to make the redemption of the body. We're not going to come to the redemption of the body in that we are waiting for the redemption of the body in that respect. For we are not. Amen. We are not waiting for anything. The Bible said we are complete in Him. And said, let the weak say that I'm strong. Is that right? If you're weak in your body tonight because of some disease, why not say you're strong? Amen. You'd feel different tonight. I'm telling you, you're something greater than a millionaire. Amen. You can use millionaires for your footstool. I'll go further than that. Millionaires ain't worthy to be your footstool where you're going to live. Amen. That's right. What is about 180,000 millionaires in America? Put them all together and they couldn't be one footstool for you. Amen. You're God's tonight. You're God's tonight. You don't have to die, folks. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be in poverty. And you don't have to die. Now, this is what I want to get over to you right quick. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, everybody's got to die. It's appointed unto man once to die and after the judgment. I know it. And the Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. Is that right? And said judgment will begin at the house of God. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Is that right? Amen. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Is that right? Hallelujah. Say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this one thing, that Christ tasted death for every man. And you don't have to die tonight. You don't even have to die natural death. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. When we come to believe, you say the redemption of body. What is the redemption of body? He said, to wit the redemption. Come on now, stay with me. What did he say? With the redemption. Is that right? To with the redemption of body. Not to try to make it come to pass, but just to recognize that at Calvary it was finished and he redeemed the body as well as he did the soul. Somebody said he's a witty old gent. Amen. Let's be witty tonight and let's wit the fact that God's not only saved our soul, but he has redeemed our body. And our body was redeemed at Calvary. And when we confess it, just like we confess our healing, then the change will take place. We can bypass the grave and wave goodbye to this world. Amen. Can you believe that you're perfect forever? Can you believe you're perfect forever? Can you believe you're sanctified once and for all? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what does Paul mean when he said sanctify thyself daily? We're supposed to set ourselves apart, sanctify ourselves daily. That's our job, to sanctify this body daily for the use of God. But that has nothing to do with sanctification for salvation. Christ sanctified us for salvation. The faith by which you're sanctified. Our sanctifying is just our effort to be used of God to keep a clean vessel that God can walk with us more. Is that right? Has nothing to do with our salvation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Something is taking place. I want you to lift your hands up and let's sing this little chorus, can we? Hallelujah. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Let's love the Lord. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it again, will you? I want thee.